Going on, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick. We're here recapping The Bachelor. Got Chrissy in Hello. Montana joining us as well. Great episode for you coming up. Rob Mills, the wonderful executive over at ABC who heads up all things alternative television, including The Bachelor, Jimmy Kimmel, all the great game shows you see on ABC, is here once again to help us break down episode two, as well as give us some insight on potential previews of what's going on for future episodes. So always fun to have Rob. We have a great episode on Wednesday. Ivan joins us to continue on getting some updates on how things ended on Tayshia's season. A lot of heavy Bachelor content recently, but I guess that's what happens when you get 1 week off from each season. So
for real.
Trying to get those out to you as soon as possible. And the episode with Ivan is as great as you might think. Obviously, he's enjoyable to talk to, and we talk. I'll get an update on where he's at, some information that happened on the season. We even get to get to know Ivan on a more personal level, his passions, including prison reform and things like that. Great, likable guy. Stick around and tune into that on Wednesday. And don't forget to check out our Ask Nick episodes that we dropped on every Monday. We drop it every Monday. Thanks so much for those of the people who listen to that. It's become one of our most popular shows, and make sure to check that out. Not sure what else there is to mention.
Our merch. Don't forget merch.
Our merch, vilefiles.com. You can check that out. Some great t-shirts, sweatshirts, all those fun things. Follow us on Instagram. We're doing some more great things. We got the ladies, the Northwestern ladies, making our social.
You should make a donation to Northwestern as a thank you.
I mean, I hired two of their hired two of the graduates, and I'm, every college wants to be like every job placements, like all of our graduates get a job.
Yeah.
So
we'll put it on the website. I love
it. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Northwestern. Anything else?
Did Cindy go to Northwestern?
No.
Oh, that would have been so good if she had.
Make sure to check out Cindy's recap of The Bachelor on my Instagram. That's out week two.
She's magic. She's a fan favorite. That's Cindy.
Is a fan favorite. Well, if there's nothing else, let's get to Rob Mills. Subscribe, review, all that fun stuff. Appreciate you listening, everyone.
Rob, welcome back.
Nick, good to see you, buddy.
Always great to see you.
Can I say Happy New Year?
I think I feel like
do it a
month.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't seen.
Month. Yeah.
If you haven't seen that person person, it's
I haven't seen you in person.
Happy New Year. So Happy New Year.
Happy
to
New
you.
Year, buddy.
Did you have a good New Year's Eve?
I did, yeah. I usually as your producer knows who works on New Year's Rockin' Eve, I'm usually in Times Square. This was my first time in almost a decade that I wasn't there. So it was surreal, but it was cool. It's very relaxing.
Well,
how about you?
You were missed, Rob.
I know. I miss you guys too.
It was relaxing.
Yeah.
Didn't do all too much.
Did you kiss anyone at midnight?
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
You know, I think that's all we'll say.
We'll leave it at that.
That's all we'll say about that.
Exactly.
That's it.
Speaking of kissing,
do you want to tell him now, Nick? It was me.
Yeah.
I was in town.
It was great.
It was us.
But put the clues together.
That's right. Yeah. Figure it out, everyone.
Yeah. We got the episode two of The Bachelor. Always great to have.
Episode two is an interesting. It's always an interesting episode.
Well, it's kind of the big. It's this. Mm-hmm. It's really a continuation of episode one in the sense that we're really setting things up. We're getting to know people.
Episode one, I always view as almost like the pre game show. That's why I loved.
It's a soft open.
It is. It's a soft open.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved Peter's premiere last year because we actually did the first date and. I thought we were going to do that almost more permanently, and I think we'll still look at it. Sometimes I think in that case we did it because if you remember, that's when Hannah
it was the came Champagne back. Gate.
She visited. Oh no, it was Champagne Gate in the premiere. I don't think it was. I think it was in episode
yeah,
two.
It was.
It was in the premiere.
It was a start of that's when we were introduced to Champagne Gate, and then it carried over.
And then it carried over to the date with Hannah B. Where she visited him at the thing and was her mascara was all running.
Yeah, which
so
is great.
That was it was great. It was fantastic. So this is you're right. It's like the first one is just you get to know you. You have the rose ceremony. This is where the dates happen. And to me, I always think of for The Bachelor, the most notorious episode two we ever had was this is when Henry remembers this far back. It was Jake Pavelka's season and Rosalind Papa and the you had a inappropriate relationship with a staffer. Chris Harrison having to tell her to leave.
Oh, I've heard about that.
You know,
I didn't.
That's
I didn't
how
watch
old
the
I am. It's like Chris or no, but Nick's like.
I've heard about that.
I heard tell of something about that.
And that was a pretty scandalous.
That was a big deal. That was a scandal. But it was crazy that it was already happening. Episode two.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Because when you were saying the
without
most,
quarantine, for that matter,
when
you
quarantine,
when you said the most scandalous episode two, I was like, oh, it wasn't when you guys brought a girl on the show that I hooked up with at a wedding, and then
wasn't that episode one?
Well, it was one and two.
And two. No, this was way more
painful
scandalous than that.
Yeah, I guess.
Was there ever a producer you thought about crossing the line with, Nick?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No. I don't really say their names, and I was going to make some joke about, like...
Right.
Know, but
I know. So,
what are you going
to do? Inside baseball.
Yeah. So I just got to say, Rob, I'm really am enjoying
it. I'm curious. So what do you think about... What do you think about Matt? What do you think about the girls?
Great so far. Mm-hmm. It's early, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, last season we have... with Tayshia and Claire, we aged up. We got a lot of conversations that seemed to be a product of, obviously... specifically the guys, but you know, the ages that they were and their life stories. That was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of excited that we've gone back to what seems to be a season full of just nonsense and drama and silliness. And I'm here for it.
I don't think it's just that, but
I think
you're right. Earlier
this is what
on,
we,
you're getting what you love earlier on.
Yes,
is,
I feel we've gone kind of back
somebody,
to the roots of the early, obviously, with Claire's season.
You're absolutely right. We didn't have any of the guys Chiron as king
It got really heavy really quickly on Claire's season. This has been so far ridiculous. And on the flip side, I really am enjoying... you know, Bree, a huge fan of Abigail. I mean, what a find for you guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of rootability, but yes, there's some ridiculousness as well, which is, you're right.
And
it's
it
totally
feels
welcome.
Bachelor-y. It feels less quarantine-y. It's like we figured out the formula on how to make it work.
I think that was a big function of, I mean, it was such an undertaking just getting La Quinta there, but it was... a smaller footprint, but it was 90% of that too was just getting the ground rules for how it would work. I mean, that was a 40-page document that they had to write up and get through. So now it definitely is like, you know, they could walk, now you can run.
Yeah.
And
part of that was, I mean, there's been obviously a lot of jokes about La Quinta versus where you're filming now, how beautiful it looks just.
Yeah.
To your point, you guys scrambled to make Claire and Tayshia's season work on
that's right.
I mean, and that was impressive. And then you had that many more months to say, all right, now if this is the new norm, temporary norm.
No, it was good. And obviously Nemacolin is a place we shot during JoJo season. So there was a familiarity. With
is that the same hotel?
Same place.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where the 2-on-1 with Chad happened.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense.
So it was, but it is great that you can actually have, to your point of feeling bachelor-y, like the dates, you know, going up on a plane or ATV riding, stuff like that. You can actually see more stuff as opposed to redressing a ballroom, you know, several times.
Yeah.
And that, things like that.
So that makes sense.
So it does feel bigger and more expansive.
Well, we can't thank our frontline healthcare workers enough, obviously. But you can get them very comfortable scrubs like Figs, the leader in stylish, comfortable scrubs. I mean, I like looking good wherever I go, and I like looking good when I go to work. And I got a pair of Figs. I'm not a healthcare professional, but I do like wearing them around the house, and I do think I look pretty damn good in them. And I have people very close to me in the health who are in the healthcare field, and they are huge fans of the figs, so much that they stole my figs. So
well, they're made to like that much. They're made to be like athletic apparel, which is kind of cool.
Figs has brought scrubs to the 21st century by creating scrubs with a focus on design, function,
and comfort.
Stays
dry, doesn't wrinkle, which is like the best part about it. And it's just super soft, Nick.
It's stylish. It's high quality. It looks good. It lasts. Every healthcare professional that I know raves about them. And I know this only because I wear my figs all the time. They're like, wow, you wear figs? I can't get enough of them.
Well, it says it has 10 pockets. Do you stuff a bunch of stuff in your pockets when you wear them?
No, I don't. I just think they look great. Anyway, if you have a healthcare worker in your life and you want to think of a way to say thank you for all that they're doing for the community, Figs is a great way to go. And if you don't, just buy yourself something and look good and be super comfortable. So if you're one of the awesome humans that works in healthcare, Figs wants you to wear the scrubs you deserve and enjoy 15% off your first order. And if you're not working on the front lines, thank someone with the best scrubs in the world. Figs will give you 15% off too. Use code VIALL15 at checkout. Head to wearfigs.com. That's WEARFIGS.com and enter code VIALL15 at checkout. Get ready to love your scrubs. Gotta love a company that takes something like plastic and turns it into stylish, comfortable footwear, bags, and other wonderful things like face masks. That's Rothy's I'm talking about. That's right. Make your mark with the new year with comfortable, washable, sustainable shoes and bags from Rothy's. Rothy's shoes are incredibly comfortable with zero break-in period. Yes. You love your Rothy's.
I love my Rothy's. Zero break-in period. You can throw them in the wash. They come right out. Super easy, super clean. It's like the fact that you can just throw them in the washing machine is like the best part about the shoes.
To date, they have transformed over 70 million bottles into beautiful shoes, bags, and face masks. That's amazing. And everyone I know who has Rothy's, I mean, I can't enjoy mine because they don't make them for me. But all you women listening to this show, they make them for you. That's right. And they look great on your feet. And they always look brand new because you can put them in your washing machine and they look brand new. They don't look like clean, used stuff. They look brand spanking new. They'll last forever because they are made of
plastic. And you don't even have to wear them in. They're like, once as soon as you put them on, they fit perfect. You don't have to like
it's amazing.
Walk around in them.
Check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/VIALL. That's rothys.com, rothys.com/VIALL. Stylish and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/VIALL today. To answer your question, I think Matt so far is great. Mm-hmm. I know it's a couple of guys here, but we should probably just take a moment and appreciate how great he looks with his shirt off. It's really
he does look amazing.
It's something.
He unfortunately is a little bit more modest than maybe some previous Bachelors. I think Sean Lowe was a little humble too, but if you prodded him just a little bit, he'd take the shirt off. Matt, I think it's been hard. And my God, if I looked like that,
it's incredible.
We'll be walking around.
Are you saying shirtless? That we might not see Matt with a shirt off every episode? Because I feel like we should.
I think we will certainly try, and I agree. I mean, there is a certain thing, you're right, no matter what you're sort of attracted to, like you can just appreciate, as an appreciator of the human form.
Yes, there's definitely
a stunning. He is like just carved.
You're just like, oh my God.
I know.
You know, there's hot, and then there's...
No, there's whatever that is.
Whatever that is, it's
exactly.
Just like, wow.
I know.
Just
no, there's extra abs in there somewhere.
It's really and
the pecs are like perfectly formed. They're cylindrical. They're amazing.
It's really it's really something. So, congrats to Matt.
It is great. He looks great, and everything he does, even for somebody, and as you know, as a star runner, knows, even for a tall guy, he actually when he runs, we see him at the beginning of this episode running. His running is not awkward at all.
He's got a really graceful gait.
He has a graceful gait, which is really difficult when you're that tall.
He's an athlete, though.
There's nothing he can't do.
He's an athlete.
He is an athlete, but there's not...
I appreciate this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, Dikembe Mutombo was not,
He was
running gracefully. He was a lot taller.
7'4".
I know. Matt's not,
Matt's 6'5"?
Yeah, he's 6'5".
He's a real 6'5". I remember when I met Ben Higgins, and he was like, I'm 6'5". I'm like, no, you're not. You're 6'4".
Why would you lie about your height when you're Ben Higgins and you're that?
I don't know. It's
like,
something.
I'll lie about my height.
I think all men in high school, like I used to say I was 6'3".
Did you really?
Yeah. In high school. And then I was like, nah, I'm 6'2". It's totally fine. I'm a legit 6'2".
We'll it's just... an inch. Anything over really 5'10", I think, you don't need to.
You don't
speaking
need
of
to.
Somebody who's like 5'7" on a good day, you know.
Well, Bree gets the first 101.
I don't think surprising. I think everybody sort of, it's fascinating because I can never really tell the way they edit it. I mean, I watch it and everything, but people immediately are like, oh yeah, that's, I got to watch out for her. I think dear Bree, Abigail.
Immediately Bree for
immediately
me
saw them.
Jumped off the page. Mm-hmm. Just her, she's got incredible presence, which is hard to have on camera by doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I say that as a compliment. Like, Bree just kind of gets out of limo. She asked Matt his name. She's just kind of, Bree stands out, I think we mentioned this last week, is because, and you have this happen every season early on of a lot of the women just being in awe and nervous. And while Matt wasn't on the previous season, you know, he's Matt and he's tall, he's good looking, and a lot of people do know of Matt. Bree's not intimidated. She's just like, this is a guy I could see myself dating. He is my equal. And I think that stands out
too, if she's one of those girls who hasn't watched the show before.
Yeah.
Sort of is just doing this.
She's not
as a you know, it's like if it works out great, if it doesn't, that's
she
fine
acts
too.
Like she belongs there, but not in a cocky, overly confident way. She's just like, okay, I'll just see where it goes. And it really, really stands out. So she gets the 101. Love the cattiness of, and she doesn't even look that good on it. It was like, who's good at eight? Is that a dating quality we require to four wheel?
It is
gracefully.
It is very strange. Also, it is one of the hidden benefits of Nemecon is everyone can watch everyone doing the date. So they, you know, furious that he's putting her helmet on. I think it's crazy.
It's great. So Bree rocks the first part of the date. We see Matt looking hot. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. We go into
his comment about like, I feel bad for your mom. Like, I'm apologizing to your mom was like so endearing to me. That was like the cutest thing about the whole date.
Matt's very good at saying
like,
the
I
right
already,
things.
Like, I already
like
knocked her over.
Yeah. I will say Matt, the first time I thought of it as like a knowing the right thing to say, but you brought it up a few times and I'm just like, all right, Matt's already projecting.
Yeah.
Meeting Bree's mom.
You did start to think, you're like, God.
Yeah.
My gosh, is that like an automatic hometown right there?
Well, I will say, as when I was The Bachelor, you know, I don't know how you've had if you've had discussions with other leads, but like obviously there's things that we're not supposed to say. You know, you want to be careful leading people on. You want to be careful not giving too much away. So for me, I kind of found kind of more cryptic ways of expressing my interest and mentioning like, oh, what are your parents like? Asking more questions about them or making comments about were just little things that I did. I don't know if Matt's thinking the same thing, but he clearly has Bree's mom in his mind, and I think it's positive for Bree.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think it is interesting as somebody who had no prior experience with the franchise, how he is... You know, maybe these are just things that are very just ingrained and you're thinking about them. But I mean, remember, you had been on Bachelorette twice. You'd been on Paradise. So it's interesting how he's doing this stuff that maybe is just sort of ingrained inside you.
Maybe. I got to ask, when you last time we were here, you said how Matt did something on night one that no one's ever done. Was that the prayer?
It was the prayer.
Yes, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Which I didn't expect to be such a sort of hot button of interest. And I actually understand some of it where it's the, you know, what if this had been somebody of a different denomination?
I get the, I think it's an interesting discussion. I think, I like it when people have the discussions about it. I don't really get why people get fired up so much. It's Matt's journey.
I don't either. I mean, I have heard somebody say, you know, in a prayer, like, please, you know, either bow your head in the manner you're accustomed or whatever. And he did, again, this is a guy, he's just met 32 women. He doesn't know what he's saying. Like, the fact he didn't tell people, like, hey, if this is not okay with you, it's, I mean, I think he just was trying to.
It's just a prayer.
It's a prayer.
It's not going
to
burn
you. It's uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, faith, I think, is important to everyone, however you.
Well, it's interesting. We just talked to Ivan, mm-hmm. And he, you know, obviously so much, especially with the premiere and the yeah. lack of After the Final Rose,
yes.
there was this conversation of that Ivan got sent home and then religion was mm-hmm. mentioned. We were all like, what is going on? Because clearly they seem to have a conversation inside the fantasy suite. Yeah.
I mean, that's on us for not clarifying that as much as we could.
But nevertheless, you know, Ivan's is like, yeah, it would have been nice had she, I didn't know how big of a deal it was to Tayshia. Granted, mm-hmm. in defense of Tayshia, limited time. What Matt did, whether you're religious or not, or whether you're a different religion, is set the stage for what's important to him, who is the bachelor, who is
that's
trying
true.
To find love. And if mm-hmm. that's something that's a big part of his life and he wants it to be a big part of his relationship,
that's right.
it makes
yeah.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it also would make sense if it does make someone uncomfortable if they're yeah. not into it, mm-hmm. but that's a discussion then maybe
that's
we
right.
will have.
Absolutely. That's right.
I got
it
a question.
It didn't make anyone
yeah,
uncomfortable.
I do have a question that, like, in past seasons, obviously, someone being Christian is a very common thing. We mm-hmm. hear it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that was at least some of the criticism on the other side of Matt
right.
praying. Do you see it in the future, whether it's the bachelor or bachelorette, like someone like Ivan, for example, mm-hmm. Ivan's just like, hey, listen, I'm just not that religious. Mm-hmm. I it's not a big part of my life. Do you see, and I'm sure we've had bachelor bachelorettes in the past be not that religious, but it's never talked about. And I'm wondering, do you see that? Would that be aired where someone like, say, let's say Ivan was the bachelor who, you know, mm-hmm. like he's great. And he's just like, listen, I'm not that religion. And then he meets like someone like, say, Maddie comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys, are you going to start airing more of those conversations? Because I know in the past seasons, I feel like the bachelors kind of avoided having those conversations about religion or about politics mm-hmm. or about other things that we don't see, and we seem to see more of it recently in these seasons.
Yeah, no, I think part of it was a byproduct of the guys last season, to your point, Nick, that they just have had more life experience, so they're sort of ready to have those conversations. But I think we also learned people liked seeing that.
Yeah.
At least was different. I mean, we're 25 seasons in, so you have to, I mean, there has to be a balance. It's also great, like you said, to see ridiculousness and what you would basically call nothing fights.
Yeah, and that's great.
I mean, you know, yes, obviously the Maryland-Victoria interplay
yeah. Yeah.
was phenomenal. But yeah, absolutely, you know, you need to see this. And it is funny, because of this, the whole thing last week, there was, I think it was going around, it was a Jewish website writing about, is The Bachelor a predominantly Christian show? And it's something like I'd never thought about, but it's certainly an interesting point and something to think about. And should, if people want to discuss religion, they should, and we absolutely should air it. And you, as you think about it, just like you said, he's also setting the stage, this is going to be important to me, this is part of my life. Sean yeah. Lowe also, that was a very big thing for him too, was just, this is a big part of who I am, and if you're really taking this seriously as I'm looking for somebody that I could spend my life with, then you gotta, you know, those things
sense.
Have to be part
yeah.
of it. Absolutely.
It makes sense. It's just, it is interesting because you're right. It just, it's funny because I grew up very religious and I have a lot of Christian, you know, if you're Christian and you're religious, you're worried that people are going to judge you for being religious. Matt kind of made a mention about that. Like, hey, mm-hmm. it's a big part of my life and sometimes I'm afraid to talk about it. We
yeah.
also find people who aren't religious who are, mm-hmm. are equally sometimes afraid to bring that up.
Absolutely.
If it's just like, are you going to mm-hmm. like me if I'm not that religious? I didn't grow up mm-hmm. with it, et cetera, et cetera. And so just generally having conversations around whether you are or aren't.
Yeah. yeah, Christian, you know, and I think most religions are supposed to be acceptance, but there is a lot of, well, if you don't believe what I believe, then you're wrong. And, you know,
there is a lot of that
in
this world.
We've also seen a lot in politics right
yes.
now, too, unfortunately.
That is the climate we have
yes,
in general.
That's
yes,
that's right. So hopefully,
maybe The Bachelor can,
if we can bring people together,
break down
or
the walls.
You and I, Nick,
yes.
whoever does it, I think we need more of that.
All jokes aside, it is
common
nice
ground and understanding.
Yeah, to watch a format like The Bachelor that's meant mm-hmm. to be generally simple and digestible to enjoy and sprinkle in some of these
well,
common grounds.
It's sometimes the best way for us to talk about these things is through entertainment.
Yeah. It's a new year, and we need to make sure that we are not spraying Febreze in our houses and breathing in those chemicals, or if you're looking for a less invasive way to deal with headaches, like taking ibuprofen all the time, Natural Habits Essential Oils is something you need to try. Essential oils are a wonderful, non-invasive way to deal with things like headaches, help you relax. You can either roll them on your body, you can put them in a diffuser, and if for no other reason, it's just a safer, cleaner way of scenting your indoor air. Check out nhoils.com, 30% off, code LOVE, L-O-V-E, code LOVE for 30% off. We offer free shipping. Check it out. You will love your oils. So we got the fireworks, and I honestly had to go back and watch it, because that's when we started sprinkling a bit of Victoria the Queen, rubbing people the wrong way, and it just seemed like out of nowhere, she just started yelling at the women. You know, there's always these questions of, like, is that how it really happened? But what I've heard through the grapevine is, and one of the women kind of mentioned this, she's like, I thought it was an act, but no, this is who she is. And I've heard that that Victoria the Queen is, this is not a character she's playing. Right. This is who she is.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely true. I think more of the question is, and, you know, whether we'll get to it or not, or, you know, on a tell-all or however we get to it, is why is she that way?
That's a great question.
You know, because that's really the question. There's always a story for how somebody became that way.
Yeah. Can you tell us if is there a chance we might learn more?
I don't know that you'll learn more now in The Bachelor, but I'm very curious about it. So maybe it's something that we'll have Paradise. Chris ask about, or on Paradise or, too. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or or yes, or a tell-all.
Or on Paradise, absolutely.
Okay, I am curious now.
A queen in
or Paradise. On Paradise, is that like a hint, Rob?
Well, no, I'm not saying anything. Nothing's done yet. Yeah.
By the way, she could be with Matt now, and they could be broken up by the time of Paradise. We don't know.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say that Victoria doesn't end up with Matt. I don't need you to confirm.
I can't say anything. I'm gonna get in trouble.
But I'm gonna.
But she opened up so much, guys. I mean, she even said it. I opened up so much in this conversation.
Absolutely.
Well, she's already just yelling at the women. I was just like, "What? Did I miss something? Did I tune out? I had to go back to."
I think it's just, you know, but again, it might be something that she's, there might be women.
There's a projection there.
Absolutely. So yeah. I think that, you know, you always have to think of that. Well, I don't think people are just born this way.
I'm always very, I tend to be defensive of villains. Because there's the Luke Parker villain. Who is just kind of like, he's a dick.
Well, but Luke Parker, though, was himself, too. Luke Parker is not one of those guys, to your point of, like, some people come on with an act or they have this and. He went on specifically for Hannah. And I always maintain they would have had a much better chance if they had just met somewhere one-on-one. Because they actually had some very similar attributes.
And he might even be, like, not an awesome guy, but he was the star of the season.
That's true. Absolutely.
And he... He made everyone more compelling because of how easy he was to dislike. Mm-hmm. But like other villains, like, you know, your Noahs or what, you know, some people are more deserve the villain one. And some people it's just like, you know, here's a soundtrack or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And sometimes I just never really know.
And I also think too. Yeah. I think we've gone to more of what I call the shades of gray villain, which is the, you know, it's not so like, obvious. That's the villain and that's the hero. Which is, again, like life. I mean, everybody is, some people are better than others and not as good as other people.
Yeah. And what I found interesting about this episode is, because I'm always kind of looking like who could be, or who might be Matt's favorites, who's going to be maybe our villain vibes. It's hard to tell because personally, don't need to confirm or deny, but I don't think Victoria is going to be around much longer. There's a preview. It sounds like maybe she makes it through this round. It's unclear because of the cliffhanger, but we saw her in like an ITM. But she's obviously taken up a lot of airtime this episode, and I don't think she's going to be around. So we don't get to see who, you know, once Victoria leaves, there's going to be someone else who's going to ruffle.
Sure.
Someone the wrong way, right? Mm-hmm. And so
now keep in mind, we've also seen that I don't think I'm giving anything away. We've seen in the previous that more women do arrive.
So we do see that, yeah.
Clearly, that also changes things.
That changes things. So yeah, I'm wondering. That's the thing is, I'm wondering: are we going to have kind of a real villain or someone who Matt likes, who is not that popular in the house? I'm wondering if that will exist.
I think you're going to see it change then into Matt sort of dealing with the fact that, and he sort of said this, he's never really been in love before and what that's like.
Yeah.
And what, I think you're going to see it start to get, not heavy per se, but much more into focused on Matt and his feelings towards the women.
That's interesting.
One girl who's making it horrible for everyone else.
Interesting. That'll be interesting because we haven't, we had Ben be unlovable.
Right.
But that was little different than Matt's story, and we're hearing that a lot even the first two episodes, is obviously his relationship with his mom, his relationship with his dad, and his parents' relationship.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to come into play later. It's pretty crazy. There's a lot of twists and turns this
season. And you know, part of Bree, I'm assuming, having the first 101 is it, generally the first 101 is someone that the lead likes, and they coincidentally have at least some sort of relatable story. Not always.
That's but it is something that we, especially in the case of Matt, where you do want to get to know him more
because we don't know anything about him. Probably more important for leads that we don't know a lot about.
It definitely is.
Because it gives, you know, we got to see Matt open up even more about, you know, his relationship with his dad. And
now, who was your first one-on-one?
Mine was Danielle L. Malpe.
Oh, Daniel Malpe, yes.
And again, to your point, I think most people, they were familiar with me, so there that was less important because, like, her story, while sad, I didn't necessarily relate to. You know, she was the one who had ex-boyfriend pass away.
Yeah, I think in that case, it was about... really, you know, I think exactly that.
So yeah, Bree gets the rose. Yeah. He's got fireworks. Mm-hmm. All the women. Here's what I like about, again, it going young again. It's pretty obvious that a good chunk of these women have been Bachelor fans. Mm-hmm. And so when they're watching the fireworks, they're like, this motherfucker is making out with her as we speak. They know the playbook. Yep. And they're kind of narrating and letting us know that they know. Which I think is always
great. And it's the worst
great.
Week, too, because you know you're going to go on some group date that, as we see, is like, you know, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Or you're not getting a date at all.
Or you're not getting a date. And whether it's ridiculous or not, there were 18 women on the first date.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a night. That's just a night one all over
again.
Exactly.
All over again. But the other thing, the flip side of it, though, is that what you're going to see with one of these girls who gets one of the first one-on-ones is the difficulty of, oh my God, I got all this time and now I'm getting no time.
Oh yeah.
And
what do we call it? The kind of early date withdrawals.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that happens. That'll happen next week and you'll see that.
I'm going to predict that happens with Sarah and not Bree.
I can't say anything.
I know you can't,
but
Rob.
Boy, Nick, you're,
Bree's too poised. I'll be surprised if we see Bree crack.
Right, that you're, again, you're kind of surprised somebody like this is on the show.
Here's the thing about Sarah, though. Matt really likes her. Really likes her. He's very physically attracted to her. We got to see, you hear this when Matt's just like, oh, I've had some of the other women open up. I really need Sarah to open up. It's like Matt, like Sarah's the girl that we all, when we're dating, there's people we like. We're just like, and we're surprised. And there's people we want to like.
Yeah.
You know, people were like, we physically find them attractive. And you're just like, just say something that makes me like you. And for Matt, that's Sarah.
Yes. I think that's right.
And while she's very sweet, she's got an incredible story with her dad. Being a caregiver is hard to do. It doesn't matter if it's your father or mother or
it's
sister.
Always hard, but
that is a very selfless act.
There are certain things too, and ALS is one of them where it's just like, God, I mean, just a horrible. There's so many things we need to cure, but that's one of them. It's just awful.
I was also watching this episode and wondering, I could see Sarah lose it at some point. And I don't know if it's a villain. Like, I could see her
I think it's just the difficulty of, oh my gosh, this was amazing.
Yeah.
And then this is.
But
it'll
be interesting to see how what happens. How does she respond to that? Because it's normal to feel that.
Also, what she's giving up to be there must play a part. Like, what she's giving up to be there. Like, the time that she's wasting. Am I wasting my time because I should be home with my family?
It's always the question. And how do the other people in the house respond to you having a hard time? Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to, usually.
You'll see it next week.
Yeah. Well.
And it's something.
Can't wait.
It's great.
Great. So then, yeah, we have the I love to see Franco come back. It's his third time.
Franco becoming one of our
started
our
on my season.
Yes,
anytime you have it as a wedding date.
That's right.
Which, you know what? Honestly, it really plays. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could probably over. They found ways to make the same date different mm-hmm. versions of the same date, which
that's
is great.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Get them in wedding dresses mm-hmm. early on. That was my first group date.
Mm-hmm.
Matt had it easy. Matt got to like stand there in a very trim, tailored suit. Mm-hmm. I had to change constantly, one of which was an Adam and Eve costume.
I don't even remember this.
Oh,
were
God,
we doing
I do.
This for like a calendar or something? Or?
No, it was the photo shoot, like different themed weddings. So we had the shotgun wedding with Alexis,
oh,
remember?
Yes. And, I do remember this now. That's right.
And okay. I'm watching it and just thinking, wow, Matt had it easy because he just...
For some reason, I thought your episode 2 was Backstreet Boys.
No, that was episode 3.
That was 3. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Anyways, Matt got to look mm-hmm. good and watch
the... Yeah, it was great.
Then you had the fun game, and true mm-hmm. to Chris Harrison's point, I love it when Chris is like, there are literally no rules. And then we ended up watching a game that seemed to have absolutely no rules.
It wasn't. I mean, if you ever play Capture the Flag, I mean, that's sort of... Sometimes you make that up as you go along.
Now, I got a question. It seemed like there are some similarities between this date and my volleyball date. I don't know if you remember.
Of course I do.
And what
absolutely.
I mean by that is that...
Isn't that where you learned about what a chokey was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was a rough day. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reminding me.
That's okay.
We saw Rachel cry, who apparently is just a crier, because... Turns out she's not as religious as we want to believe that she might be. She just cries because she cried after Matt praying, mm-hmm. and then now she just cried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also Katie cried. The women seem to be very frustrated. Is that just a product of panicking early, 18 women on a date, they get sent home, or was there something that happened that we didn't get to see?
No, I think it's that. I also think, too, there was a little bit of that in the back of the head. To your point, they've seen the show before. They're thinking, well, Matt's the type of guy who might say, you know what? You all did great. Let's all go.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, you're going on. Because 18
is too much.
Exactly like you said, it's a night one. It's unwieldy. So you do have to have just 9. So I think that was difficult. I mean, you're going home. You're dirty. It's cold there.
Was it pretty cold?
It's pretty cold.
How long did they play for in real time, do you feel like? Probably a good hour.
Yeah, probably that. Maybe a little bit, just a little bit over that.
Because they looked really taxed after mm-hmm. that game. We're like,
no, it was a lot of run. Again, you don't want to go back.
No.
You do not want to go back. So you're really doing anything, just honestly, to get out of the house. Not only just to spend time with Matt. But
no,
just,
it truly feels,
nice, you know,
it's an amazing thing how monumental that moment mm-hmm. can feel just by losing what is essentially might even be 2 minutes anyways.
Right.
But mm-hmm. it really got to
it
them.
Is. It's tough. Absolutely. Yeah. Emotions ran high.
So most of this episode obviously is a lot about Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
She gets mad at,
Marilyn?
Marilyn.
Yeah.
She gets mad at Marilyn is it two to a room, or when she said that she was a roommate, or is it more kind of bunk? Like most of the time, it's like 6 to a room or something.
But they've got this massive
hotel,
so this is totally different.
So it really is just the two of them into a room,
mm-hmm.
and they don't like. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like Victoria can get along with anyone.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Because there's always there's always like even when it was on my season, like there's once in a while you guys will be like. You know, someone who's not a fan in the like a popular in the house. Mm-hmm. There's always like they always have one or two friends.
No, and I think that's the case with Victoria. I don't think it's Victoria has no friends in the house, but I think that it starts to get harder as she becomes more vocal to stick up. To defend her.
Yeah, because usually people are trying to like you go in, you're just like I don't want a target on my back, mm-hmm. and you've all heard about the target in the back. First impression.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Victoria is just like has her hand up, almost like mm-hmm. I'm fine. Bring it on.
Well, she also, I think, just takes the whole thing as like, I'm here for Matt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here for you guys.
She mentions a few times that mm-hmm. she's trying to find ways to stand out, which, I mean, obviously they all are, but she seems to be taking it in a very literal sense.
Yes,
of like,
right.
It doesn't, it's like the no press is bad press mentality. It's just like, I just,
yeah,
Victoria's just trying to
me.
Get press
that's
as
true.
It relates to
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, that could be. I think that's, you know, I think there's definitely some of that right there.
Okay.
And like you said, she's a focal point of the episode.
Lauren gets the group date rose. We hear that she's willing to do anything. She does well, capture the flag. She seems to have a nice moment with Matt. He gives her the first impression. I mean, the group date rose. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of, I almost felt bad for, what is her name? Jacenna?
Oh,
I think it was Jacenna.
Jacenna. Yeah.
It's totally reasonable to be sad about you've been cheated on, but lately we've just been getting some real stories. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like a very forced cry. It was like, I want to get a kiss from Matt. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stand out.
Yeah. No, it's almost
will
like
you kiss me?
Going back to the whole religion thing. That's why it's interesting, because a lot of these stories are usually about somebody cheated on me, or somebody tell me about your ex, or tell me about that's why it's actually refreshing when we've had some of these different conversations. But yeah,
yeah, because she's like, you know, I've dated some guys and they cheated on me, and Matt's kind of like uncomfortable because everyone's crying right away. He's like, what can I do to help? She's like, well, you can kiss me. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, okay, well,
no, that again, also to our earlier point about he is a gorgeous specimen. So
yeah, no,
want to get a kiss from Matt, do it however you can.
Yeah, do it however you can.
You know,
I mean,
it reminds me of all the conversations you always say, Nick, that you're like, sometimes you just have to do it. And you don't like, even the Victoria kiss was a little weird, but you've had that conversation before. It's like, sometimes it's not the bachelor's choice. It's like, you're going around.
It's very hard for the bachelor to reject
it's hard to
a
say
kiss.
No.
I think that's one where it's much easier for the bachelorette.
Much.
We've seen a lot of sort of like, nope, not good.
Yeah, if a bachelorette on episode 2 was just like, you know, it's a little early. Mm-hmm. We're crying right now. Mm-hmm. Let's embrace the moment. Everyone would be like,
yeah,
okay, that makes sense.
That's right.
You know, if it was Matt, it was,
oh, it's, how could you do this?
That's a dick move. Yeah. You really? You said no?
She
just poured her heart out.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it felt a bit insincere. Mm-hmm. It felt like, you know, she just started crying.
I think he does, you're even starting to see, not necessarily that he doesn't have much of a poker face, but you can really sort of tell where the connections are. And and he's sort of balancing it because he does care about everyone's feelings here, and he doesn't want to hurt.
Well, that's the thing. Matt seems like a nice guy, and I think you kind of call it. When Matt asks without kind of getting him like, well, what can I do to help? Because he knows to be polite, and that's just the thing you do with anyone. I don't know if he likes you as much as if he's just kind of focused on you or thanks you for really, you know, like with Sarah, he mentioned how honored he was more than once that she was willing to share that story.
Yeah.
You know, and with Jacenna, he was just like, you know, how he was basically in the nicest possible way asked, how can I get you to stop crying? Mm-hmm. I felt like that's how it felt.
That probably was true. That's probably right.
Like what? Mm-hmm. I will do anything. Mm-hmm. What do you want? And she's
because
like, well, we can make out.
Want some ice cream? Can I get you a cone?
Yeah. What is that weird byproduct too of The Bachelor is not only is it just dating unlike any other kind of dating because you're going on these dates, you're dating multiple women, but also, this is probably not a conversation that would happen on a first date in the real world. You know,
you're right.
It's like Chris Harrison drumming into use this time.
Thinking,
okay, well, I'm going to tell him all these
100%
stories. Right.
I would like to ask Matt because, you know, for me when I was there, it was certainly my first time as the Bachelor, but you know, you're familiar with the conversations. Mm-hmm. And so I certainly felt early on like I could, you know, and part of it was people who I had connections with. You know, you're just naturally more interested in hearing about them. But like you could just tell when I was trying to have conversations with women who, you know, you could tell they were forcing it. It's like, why are we talking about this now? Mm-hmm. We'll get to it. And I'm curious if Matt was surprised by like, why is someone telling me this?
Right.
The very first conversation, or if he was just like, oh, I guess this is how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I'm really just kind of curious if he was blown away by that.
It's interesting. I know. I don't, because you're right, because it's just so different.
Yeah,
he's
so
had
new
no
to him.
Previous
yeah.
experience. So, yeah, and, I don't know. Now, granted, he also, though, as we all know, he's, you know, his best friend is Tyler C. So he may have been briefed on some of this stuff, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure he did. But I guess, you know, while Tyler went all the way through Hannah's season, mm-hmm. it is different being on the other side. And
well,
so,
Hannah, though, Hannah, is also a very good friend. So
yeah, Hannah,
you know,
probably told him
said
a lot.
Something too. Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that.
Although, like we said, it's very different for The Bachelorette.
Yeah. But I assume, you know, the guys.
Although I guess it isn't. There's been some of those weird stories too, where it's like they're saying something. And
there's plenty of guys mm-hmm. who early on,
yeah, they know. Tell some bizarre story.
Guys, that, yeah, guys are just as bad about like mm-hmm. week two being like, "I love you,"
right?
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. I guess that's true too.
What do you want me to say here?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to stand out. Speaking of standing out, Kit didn't have much of a role. I'm really curious about her. She, you know, she came in, she's the youngest, she came mm-hmm. out pretty guns blazing episode one. She in a group of women where there's so many, she mm-hmm. she had her moments. She didn't have as much. I'm really wondering, I don't really see,
yeah,
I don't,
she's got
I don't,
that Spencer vibe
yeah,
right now.
I don't know. I don't see Matt being into her. I just don't know if there's a connection there.
It's well, again, it's just, there's just so many women right now. So it's,
there is.
It's difficult.
Because I see Kit as someone who, like I've mentioned, people mention mm-hmm. Corinne vibes. You know, she has
right.
that.
Yeah.
She mm-hmm. comes from, she mm-hmm. has no problem kind of owning her privilege.
Yeah.
In mm-hmm. a sense, at least when mm-hmm. it comes to, I've had a, you know, a mm-hmm. charmed life so far and this is who I am, yeah. Which tends to make for good sound bites. Mm-hmm. But she was a little under the radar.
I think also, Victoria is laying a lot of cover fire right now.
That's
so,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I guess too. It was hard for mm-hmm. anyone to yeah. be on the radar with, mm-hmm. with Victoria. So, yeah, I mean, we have a big part of it was the Victoria and mm-hmm. it's Marilyn.
Yeah.
Which Marilyn, you know, I guess the best thing that ever happened to Marilyn was Victoria, because I don't know if Marilyn no. would have much of a moment if it weren't for Victoria.
Well, I thought that her one-on-one at the cocktail party with Matt was actually really kind of touching and certainly made Matt yeah. look great, like somebody who, because there's always the question
yeah, with
of
the orchid.
How much
I'll
do you
honest,
really pay attention
it felt to like she was like, I don't know if you like me. I haven't been on asked any dates. It's week one. There's only been a few dates.
Right.
And Matt was like, I got this gum in my pocket. I thought of you. It looked like he looked behind the chair, saw a plant, and just happened to be like, you know what? Here you go. I thought of you. And she decided to just be like, you know what? I'm going to go with this. I'm going to tell everyone it's my favorite plant. I'm going to make everyone jealous.
Interesting.
I could be wrong, but that's how it felt.
No, I can see why you say that. It's sort of like, you know, what you're saying with the Jesenia thing, where it's just a little bit of a deer in the headlights right now. And, you know, how do I rectify the moment? But no, I mean, I think that was a little more sincere than that. But I hear where you're coming from.
Okay. No.
But you're right. She just wanted to be, you know, I belong here. I didn't get a date.
Yeah,
please.
I like you. She wanted to hear mm-hmm. I like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to hear I like you.
It seems mm-hmm. to be, like, I don't know if it's because it's a younger group, but a little bit more panic overall on the women.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's the, mm-hmm. the size of the group overall. There's how many did you guys start with? Did you break a record?
32, yeah.
So that's
I think it's the size of the group. It's also these were cast, one of the advantages we had was we announced Matt so early. So they really were all cast for Matt. Mm-hmm. As opposed to sometimes want to say Nick, I don't even know. I think
no, you
yours,
guys casted for
it
Luke.
Was probably cast for Luke, and then we might have got a few in.
It was pretty last minute.
I remember
minute.
We announced you. No, the whole point of announcing you before you left Paradise was so that we could try and get some people in.
And that,
but
you don't have a ton of time. But like you said, with Matt, you guys had probably
so
more time
than
usual. These
are girls who they're really, you know, they're excited for Matt. They want to
be
there.
Well, like Katie, you know, mm-hmm. after the exhausting group date, And it came across, like, it's as a viewer, you're watching and be like, how, mm-hmm. how what? But you're right. Yeah. Like, you know, Katie probably, mm-hmm. she goes through the casting process. She's,
She's been able to watch Matt on social.
Yep.
She sees all the great qualities. She meets Matt. He's living up to the hype, so to speak. So she's just like, this could be my guy. And then you're not, you're just, you're getting no time.
Right, exactly.
And there's a panic there of like, am I going to get the time? You always hear, I have so much to prove. I just want to get an opportunity to show him who I am.
That's right.
And
yeah, and I think that was it. I think with Marilyn, it was a little bit in overdrive because, again, the it's hard. I always think those people who don't get a date that second week, it's tough.
Yeah, no, and it is amazing.
And you think you just take it personally. You think it's not, it's me.
You do. I mean, as much as I, like, it was kind of funny seeing Marilyn get excited about getting the plant. But I didn't get a date on Andy's season. I got the first impression, Rose, and that's pretty common to get sidelined.
Yeah.
And production sent us cookies with a note from Andy. And knowing what I know now, it's just like, yeah, Andy was like, yeah, sure, send them some cookies. It was like...
Were the cookies any good?
I don't know. They were definitely store-bought, right? Like, you could tell they just had that store-bought taste.
Yeah.
And but in the moment, I remember being like... She made me these.
Yeah,
you know what? I convinced myself that she picked
they were bigger,
every
special or more special than they were.
Yeah, and they wasn't even they weren't even just for me. They were for anyone who wanted to eat them. But so it's a you have a way of trying to like tell yourself you belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. I think it's definitely that, and I think that there are sometimes when people can make it really special for you. I mean, I remember Brad Womack's second time, and the same thing, Emily Maynard got the first impression rose, didn't get a date, but he actually set up like a whole picnic at the cocktail party in that second episode just to make sure that she knew, like, you know, I know you didn't get a date. I was thinking about you. So I think that was a little bit of what Matt was trying to do.
Yeah. And we got to see that with Abigail, right? And
yes.
We know Abigail is like that classic, didn't see much of her, but what we did see, we reaffirmed that Matt's very into Abigail, that she's a sweetheart. I love the whole...
I think it'd be hard not to be. I mean,
the secret, like, like what's going to be our signal.
Yeah.
And you know, you can always tell, like you mentioned poker face. Mm-hmm. Like, there's polite, nice Matt, and there's... I really like you.
Yeah.
I find you captivating.
Yeah.
I want to have this game. I'm not saying this to be nice. I'm in on this with you. And that's how I felt when he was talking to Abigail.
Yeah. And I think that's right. And I think, you know, it's sort of easy early on then to see who he's into and who he's not. So it's sort of, you sort of know who's going to go home and who's going to stay. But then that's the classic thing in The Bachelor. It's like, oh, now he's down to like, six people he's really liked, and what is he going to do?
Yeah,
that's where that net just starts to tighten, and you know,
I can see that. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, I appreciate the preview.
Yeah, it's good.
That's really good. Before we let you go, obviously the episode ended with was it Sarah?
Yes. Well, the episode ended with we're sort of a to be continued with the cocktail party. He's giving out his roses.
It's middle. It's like middle.
Yes.
We haven't not done.
The
so the big cliffhanger is it's kind of like, will Victoria get the rose?
Yes.
You guys kind of spoiled that regardless in the preview.
Yeah, with the preview.
You need to know, though, that Victoria's still going to be around. You know, who cares? She's just, you know, she's
well,
so great.
I'll tell you what. I care, and for the reason, I always try to tell the audience, appreciate your villains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's out there, you know, tweeting. And unfortunately, I'm sure, and it's not okay, that Victoria is going to feel the wrath of Twitter in a mean way. You know, fine,
like
tell
I said,
your jokes.
Just remember, it's like I said, remember, everyone is that way for a reason.
Yeah.
You know,
and
we
enjoy
all have
watching
stories.
Her.
Yeah. Nobody has been born just mean and, you know, angry. And I wouldn't necessarily call her mean, but. She has a way of dealing with women that's interesting.
She's asking for attention that she'll probably regret.
That could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like she clearly is requiring attention. She wants it from Matt, but if she's not going to get it from Matt, she's getting it from the other women.
That's
I just want to point out, when
not a good sign when you ask for, well, first of all, try not to ask for a kiss in general, but Victoria just like asked for a kiss. Matt's response is sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So awkward.
I know.
Never.
But, you know, what a good sport. God bless. Because he's not really, you know, the kissing bandit type, as we've seen.
No, but he does kiss with his eyes open a little. Did you notice that?
I'm going to look at that
sometimes
now.
Sometimes he kisses with his eyes wide open.
I don't think
I saw. Sometimes he doesn't.
Is that even a thing?
It is
a
thing.
Do people do that?
I don't get why people say you should 100% kiss with your eyes closed all the time.
I just have never known it to be a thing.
I think on camera it just looks a little weird. But I appreciate it. But it just looked a little weird. But
I'm
okay.
Certainly going to watch
that
think
now. I don't know. I feel like Matt is an appropriate amount. He went in for the kiss with Abigail. He doesn't seem to be afraid to kiss when he wants to kiss.
He's not afraid to
when
kiss.
When he wants to, yeah.
That's right. But he's also not somebody who is going to set the record for, you know, I kissed all 20 some odd women.
But whoever the lead is, when they set records,
right,
it's more has to do with the cast than anything else. Because even the Bachelorette tends not to reject.
It's
an exhausting thing. Mm-hmm. Like you might
plus
with one guy.
It becomes a contest almost, doesn't it? Like in the house, like people are like, he didn't get it. I got
it.
They
that's
got a kiss.
True.
I didn't get a kiss. Like, you know,
they're
like,
talking
oh,
amongst each other. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like it's a little bit of, yeah, it's more on the cast.
Yeah, it is. But and some of these girls are just okay. They want to kiss Matt, and who can blame them?
I think it's totally fine. So yeah. So Sarah is she? Do we know if she's lightheaded or are we able?
You know, it just was. You know, obviously you'll see next week. Cause she said, you know, I'm feeling lightheaded. I'm seeing stars.
I'm seeing stars. Which
I think
honestly,
Chris Harrison actually walked into the room at that point, so I think that's what she was referring to there.
That makes sense. That makes sense because I've seen it in cartoons, but I don't know if anyone's ever
seen stars. Stars at least is a little more realistic than birds. You know,
that's
I'm
true.
Birds
I'm seeing birds.
But I think it was just a, you know, some sort of a lightheaded spell. And look, as you know, you're standing there for a long time. It can get, you know,
nerve-wracking.
A little nerve-wracking. I mean, it's
she had a rose.
Ironic somebody who has a rose, but
she
it's,
had a rose.
It's just, you know, it's doing. It's not the first time this has happened.
No, it's not. And to that point, usually when it does happen, especially on The Bachelor, it tends to annoy the other women. A lot of people will read it as attention grabbing,
right?
Insincere. Mm-hmm. Sarah seems to be liked in the house.
Yeah, but also it's like, this is exactly to your point though. If you have a rose, why would you do that?
That's
why
true.
Why do you need the attention?
So maybe people,
although you know, you'll see what happens next week.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I've had a hard time with trying to figure out in a great way, and because it's been Victoria cannibalizing so much the drama. Victoria had all of the attention that Victoria has gotten is because of Victoria, her insistence on demanding attention.
Yeah,
usually in other seasons, whether it's the first impression rose, the first, you know, first couple one-on-ones, or like a group date rose, usually one of those people in the first week tends to be someone who gets early attention and they don't handle it very well, or at least that's the perception of it, where they the target on the back by like getting too confident too soon and then rubbing some of the women the other way. And I'm trying to figure out, because I feel like, is it just Victoria protecting one of these people, or you know, Sarah, Bree, I don't think it's going to be Bree, or Lauren who got the group date rose, or maybe it's, you know, like I feel like it's always one of the early people who get validated tend to burn out or handle it or at least rub people the wrong way. And I'm trying to figure out who it's going to be, but it's harder to figure out because of Victoria.
It is. I think you're right. I think that's a really good point. It'll manifest itself pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
The people showing up are you able to, is that sooner than later?
That is sooner than later. It's coming up. Jerry's, it will not happen next week, but
okay,
it's pretty soon.
Okay. And Never Been Kissed, we see, comes on.
She also shows up. Yeah,
is that a product of the friendship that she has with Hannah and Hannah has with Matt?
Well, I would assume so. I don't know, but I definitely know this was, you know, I mean, look, for the most part, it is somebody who's had a, you know, with you and Caitlin, it's like, yeah, you guys clearly had a relationship and, you know, but there are times where it's like, oh, how do we help, you know, make this happen or whatever.
There's times that you meet someone at a wedding, you haven't talked to them since, and then show up.
And then they show up, exactly, which is also great.
Also great.
This is one where this was very, you know, much... This wasn't like, well, who can we bring on from previous? If anything, we wanted to be more agnostic towards previous casts. Even you haven't seen, you know, I think people were expecting to see Tyler like every episode. Like this was going to be Tyler the Wingman and everything. And, you know, you haven't seen him.
Yeah, which makes sense. This is Matt's season and maybe we'll see Tyler.
But I think there could have been, there certainly could have been the thought of like, oh, we need to get some people in from previous Bachelor seasons to get, because Matt is a whole cloth Bachelor. We don't know him. We don't know any of these girls. That's the, you know, it's always, that's why it's usually been better to have a lead from a previous season.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was not okay, how do we bring somebody in from a previous season that's promotable?
Yeah. No, I it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I would guess, knowing very little, that, never been kissed, has met Matt through Hannah and her friendship with Hannah. She has a crush on Matt and she thinks there's a connection with Matt more than there is. And my guess is she'll come on and be like, we have something and be wildly disappointed. This is my guess. I know very little other than that. Other
I like that your guess is so like, well, it's very like thorough. It's not like,
you host a recap show. I want to go back and be like, I nailed it or I got it wrong. But I think she thinks there's a connection more than Matt thinks. And she's going to probably be disappointed. And
we'll see.
But
it's
going
to happen pretty soon.
Well, Rob, is there anything we're leaving out? I know you got to get going. You're a busy guy. We appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun.
People always love listening to you, so I appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts. I look forward to the rest of the season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can you tell us if we're going to be able to make After the Final Rose happen this season? I feel like a lot of people were disappointed.
It was, you know, you have to remember,
logistics.
This was December 22nd.
Yeah.
You know, it's normally, we could have either pre-taped something months early, and then if something happened, say, you know, Tayshia and Zach had broken up or something, it's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
December 22nd was so hard to ask people. They had literally just finished The Bachelor. I mean, people were exhausted. And for the most part, the beauty of things like you have a podcast, you know, we've now heard from Ivan, we've seen, you know, Tayshia and Zach are doing great.
I mean, it's great for my show.
It's great for you, exactly. So it's fantastic. Thanks. So we're going to take that away now.
Okay.
We're going to go back to an AFR.
Okay. That...
But it was really, really difficult. But this season, absolutely. I mean, the only thing I would say is things are so unpredictable in this world. You know, you never can say never, but I would be stunned if there's not an AFR this season.
Okay.
We have every intention of doing it.
I think everyone's going to be really excited.
I've pretty much been on the record too saying this too, because everyone asks this, but obviously we are, you know, hell bent on figuring out Paradise too for this year.
So it's not a sure thing yet.
I think it is. It's just how we're going to do it. But I'm sure. I'm sure it's going
to
happen.
You have four seasons to cast from.
You have
an MVP roster.
That's, honestly, I think we could probably do like some supersized season because we could just keep cycling people.
No, you
in.
Can. And you're going to have so many people that they were big characters in their respective seasons who are going to feel like they're shoe-ins. Everyone, like,
I'll never forget. I think your season of Paradise was the last one where you were like, God, this pond is stocked. We've got
many
people.
It was stacked.
On that season. It was good. And so, I definitely think there's definitely that.
And when you have that, you just have you have more people feeling
it's
the pressure.
Great, absolutely.
There's
and you've got to
pressure.
Think now, these people from all the way back from Peter's season are starting to look at, like, they're starting to look at this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This season, this is who my competition is.
For sure.
You know, they're looking at the people who are on Claire and Tayshia's season. I think about it's fascinating. And you got to think that some of the guys
with Peter now single, you could have Kelly, you could have Peter on.
Oh, there's so many.
Is there a Maddie and Peter reunion potentially?
At the very least, I just want Peter to come on in a seaplane. Even if he just does a flyby and then leaves, doesn't do the season, you know, I just want to see him fly in.
I'm here for it.
Ridiculous.
Well, Rob, we know you got to go and can't thank you enough. I just want to say, me personal plug here, if Abigail doesn't win Matt's heart, she is currently my choice for your next Bachelorette.
It's always good to hear that, and let us know, you know, and certainly as you hear things, Nick, from your listeners or whatever, it's always good to hear who people like and want to see as the Bachelorette.
I will let you know, Rob. I'm sure you guys have it covered, but I just wanted to say that I think that would be a fantastic season.
All right.
Thanks so much, Rob. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send your questions to AskNickAtCastMe.com for our Ask Nick episodes. Make sure to check us out every Monday for those. We have Ivan joining us tomorrow. Great conversation with Ivan. Covered a lot of topics I don't think he's talked about yet on some of these other podcasts. Make sure to check that out. And if there's nothing else, we will see you on Wednesday.